Patrick.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, who cares?
They obviously care about themselves, but who else do they care about?
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe we'll have a guest or two.
The world's going up in flames, so, like, who cares?
Who cares?
We care.
Gross. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Who Cares? The Who Cares podcast. It's here.
Woo! Who cares?
We totally recorded this like a month ago, but we didn't put it up and we didn't know what we were going to call it at the time. So we finally decided to just go with what we called our web series, which was a huge hit, right?
Oh, I mean, the calls have not stopped coming. They were like, when's the podcast?
Yeah, so here we are. So check out this first episode. We're going to go back in time and enjoy. Does that sound good, honey?
It sounds really good, and, like, just be careful because my voice can be very loud on audio.
Well, here we are. We're starting our podcast. Hello, wife.
Dreams realized.
Yeah.
It's happening. I'm looking directly into your eyes.
Yeah, we've got full eye contact. We're doing this podcast. This is our first episode.
I like how you said we're doing full eye contact, and you looked away in that moment.
Well, I was thinking about what I was going to say next, so I always look somewhere else usually.
It's fine. I didn't need you to explain it. I was just saying that was a funny detail.
You say something, I'm going to yes and it. We'll go down that road, baby. So welcome to podcasting. Is this your first time podcasting?
No. I did an episode of Big Girl Pants? Bossy Pants?
Oh, yeah, with Andrea Eileen Shapiro.
And they said they wanted to check the volume on their mic, and they were like, well, make sure to get up real close to it. And I was like, do you guys not know me at all? Like, it's not an issue.
You've got a loud voice.
I was born this way. Baby.
She's born this way, baby. All right. So this, our first episode, we're just going to explore what, maybe we could talk about what this podcast is, what it isn't, what it could be, what it should be. You know, maybe we talk a little bit about what we're doing here.
Pilot ep.
Yeah, this is a pilot episode.
Should we set a timer for
ourselves? Yeah, well, let's just look at the time. It's 3:15. Let's try to go to 4:15.
Okay.
I'll write that down on my list here.
Don't overthink, and we're ending promptly at 4:15.
Yeah, well, let's just aim for that. So this podcast could be about anything. It could be about sex. It could be about love. It could be about relationships. Both of us have a history of substance abuse, wellness, mental health, pop culture.
You name it.
Yeah, so tune in. These episodes are going to continuously just get more and more interesting.
We'll most likely spend a whole episode speaking about RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag Race?
Oh, I love RuPaul's Drag Race. They show it in kindergartens all across America.
RuPaul, I hate when people talk in baby talk like that too, so that's really mortifying.
Yeah, like in a cute way, like couples.
Yes.
We've done that.
No, there's no softening of W's and R's when we're talking
in
to
this
each
household.
Other. However, who's to say that ours is any better or worse?
I mean, our couple talk is pretty gross.
It's like a weird. It's like we're from another country, but like. Don't speak good in our native tongue either.
It's as if we're disabled foreigners. It's not cute baby talk. It's disabled foreigner talk. And hey, maybe we will have some disabled foreigners on our podcast sometime.
Oh, yeah. We don't judge, do we? No, we judge a lot.
Well, yeah, listen, here's the thing. Oh. So here's what's going on. We've got a lot going on in our life. Some of it private. It'll probably all come out. And we can guarantee you this, listeners, if you even enjoy the vibe we have now, just wait until her and I figure out how to talk on mic together.
Ooh, it is. We've tried so many different web series and mediums and interviews. So like this was just the natural step.
Yeah. And now in 2017, when you get married, you're not just starting a life together. You're starting a brand.
That's right.
And this is our podcast platform.
And we thought, what is a very saturated market? I know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for it and pin it all to that.
Oh, the pool's full of 500 other Americans with podcasts. Let us in.
White people with opinions.
Hey, it's not all white people.
It's a lot of white people.
There's a lot of different podcasts.
I know there's a lot of different. I'm not saying that that is what's going on in podcasting. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people, white people with opinions, and we are white people with opinions. And nobody's that interested in white people's opinions right now, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shitting on podcasting. I'm shitting on white people, hun.
She's shitting on them right now. She's actually elevated above the table.
Full Cleveland steamer.
There's a Cleveland steamer happening on our dining room table. And it's weird that you have magazine clippings of your least favorite white people that you're going on.
Oh, God, that would be great.
Oh, man, you're really steaming up Donald Trump's face right now.
Well, if I could get my hands on him. Cleveland steamer all day.
Who else you got in your shit collage over there?
I mean, we could just go through the administration of the obvious choices, Trump, Pence.
Yeah.
Throw Ivanka in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not gender biased.
Ivanka's clothing line is poop resistant, so.
Because they know that people want to take Cleveland steamers on it.
Yeah, yeah.
They know it's a pile of shit, so they, by that understanding, make it poop resistant.
Where did you learn the phrase Cleveland steamer?
Fucking elementary school, probably.
They were teaching that back then, huh?
In my Catholic school, yeah.
See, in upstate New York, you learned that from your friends, not from teachers in school. It's interesting. You're going to have to learn how to not eye roll on mic. Like, you'll have to learn how to express that verbally.
Do you hear this mansplaining, everybody?
Well, no, I'm saying because I just made the lamest joke, which you
eye-rolled. I think they heard my sigh and pause and understood there was an eye roll involved.
Okay.
If they don't, so here it is, folks. If you hear a pause from me and a... That usually means that there's been like a full 360 eye roll involved too. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll happen.
So I don't need to learn anything, but thank you so much. Thank you.
That'll happen 20 to 45 times per episode. So yeah, you got a collage, your Cleveland steaming, you learned it in Catholic school.
Yeah. Let's recap.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't know. We've known each other going on 7 years. January will be 7 years.
Yes, yes, yes.
So why not be podcast co-partners, you know?
Mm.
We're life partners. Let's be podcast co-hosts.
Yeah, let's take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And share with this great nation of ours all of our ins and outs, back and forths.
Yeah, ups and downs.
Ups and downs.
We have had a history. Do we start with our history? Where do we start?
Yeah, why don't we tell the people, all of them, that'll be tuning in.
Well, let's read some viewer mail. The first question we got in from somebody who didn't even know we were going to have a podcast is, how'd you guys meet? What's your deal?
Thanks so much, Stacey. So where did we meet? Quite frankly, we met in a 12-step program.
Yeah, it was a secret society meeting.
We knew each other for a bit.
We should clarify that we both were horrible addicts and drunks in our 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're pretty confident that our paths would not have crossed when we were out there in them streets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it happened, we would have just probably gotten into a fight or.
Well, our paths probably did cross because we were with our significant others like mere blocks away from each other
true.
For several years.
Yeah. We both lived off the Graham Avenue L stop. Well, I only lived there for a single year.
And I never lived there. I just spent a lot of time there.
Yeah. So, we met in these secret meetings and we both had our own lives. You had a boyfriend.
Yeah. Several.
Several.
I just mean like over the course of being a waste of a person into sobriety. But yes, in sobriety, boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm going to learn a lot about you on this podcast.
You already know it. Come on.
So, yeah, what happened? You were dating a guy and we had the same circle of friends.
Freewheeling, broke, short hair, trying to figure it all out. That boyfriend dumped me for what was the third time. And I was just like, well, I can't be alone because that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was my MO. Mm. And then I set my sights I'm just like a young man sitting in a room, probably in some sort of Nike Dunks. And yeah, like a light denim.
Yeah, like a Nike Dunk. I was wearing a lot of white V-neck t-shirts.
Yep.
In that era.
Yeah.
This is 2010, Patrick Colburn.
Tall drink, sort of a strawberry blonde, messy hair.
This was at a meeting. You remember seeing me for the first time?
I do. I think you were in some sort of purple tee.
Oh, yeah. I love that tee.
Purple tee, light wash denim, mm-hmm. Nike Dunks, and just like a messy, shaggy haircut. And I was like, I could do something with that.
I could whip that into shape. Yeah.
I'm like, he's cute. I could do something with that.
Yeah.
Which is very...
But you probably had your eyes on several guys.
I wouldn't say several. But I was very much in that state of like... I was not in the greatest healthy mindset when I went after you.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, I don't attract the mentally well.
No, we realize that now. Yeah. Mm.
I actually don't know what that means. I think I've been with some very great women in a lot of ways.
I was just thinking more in life. Running
theme of my life is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no offense to anyone out there. I'm sure you're doing great now.
Yeah.
It's Patrick's problem, not yours.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I asked you out to coffee, looking for some rebound loving. We went out to coffee.
A rebound loving. That's what she wants.
Talk about rebound loving.
A rebound loving. You were the Dennis Rodman was very good at rebounding in the NBA. So you were like,
oh God.
You were the Dennis Rodman of rebound loving.
Sure.
In North Brooklyn. It's probably sober scene.
For someone who literally cares nothing about sports of any kind, I actually think it's kind of like a terrible institution of hero worship. But yes, I was the Dennis Rodman of rebound loving in North Brooklyn.
I'm Denise Rodman. I'm looking for a rebound.
Ever heard of Dennis? Well, I'm on the rebound. You know what I'm saying?
A rebound loving. I'm Denise.
Yeah, so anyway, Denise the Beast, mm-hmm. on the loose.
From the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh my God. We went out to coffee.
You and I did.
Ross.
Tea. No, we had tea.
Oh yeah, what was that place called? It used to be a real spot
for
everyone.
Oh, Bedford. Oh, Williamsburg used to be. Oh, it's changed.
You know, it's not what it used to be.
No, man, these people come in here, these hipsters, change it all. I don't know what that is now. I don't know.
We're looking
at
several buttons unbuttoned on your shirt
now.
I've
gotten very hot.
He's taking his shoes off. He's unbuttoning his top. Good Lord.
The apartment's gotten hot.
Yeah, I don't think the air's on because we're podcasting.
We're podcasting. So listen, listeners, I just want to make this point while I'm thinking about it. It might just take us a little time to get up and running. I'm feeling like we're doing fine.
Uh-oh.
But we're painting a picture of our history here and it feels vulnerable. So I'm kidding around. I'm joking around, but you're
heating up.
This is the greatest story ever told. So
some might say the story of Jesus Christ, but no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You've never met us before.
Yeah. So we went to tea in December 2010.
Correct.
Yeah.
My God.
Wow.
Children.
7 years ago.
I was 28.
Yeah, and you made the first move. You asked me out on a date.
Yeah, because that's what Denise does. Denise the Beast.
She's like, rebound loving.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have fucking time for like white hipsters to like pussyfoot around and not ask me out. Like, I'm gonna fucking take shit into my own
hands.
And
I was pussyfooting because I knew you were single and I was playing drums in a band, everybody.
Oh.
I was keeping that backbeat. I was the backbone of the band.
Backbone, backbeat. They called him Backbone, Backbeat Holbert in
backbone,
those days.
Backbone,
backbeat. And I was like, I got to get me some of that backbone back.
Oh, you wanted a bone.
Yeah.
So I was playing in a band and you were friends with all the people in the band. We were all mutual friends.
Yes.
And I started planting seeds. I kept saying things like, you came to one practice, and I remember saying to the guys that I felt nervous playing in front of you because you're so beautiful. And then you came to a show at the Charleston, also on Bedford Avenue.
Yes.
And
at that show, I actually was back with the boyfriend at that point.
Oh, the ups, the downs.
Yeah.
See, Dennis Rodman, sometimes he's rebounding. Sometimes he's playing offense.
Sometimes he's in North Korea. What of?
Yeah, he's solving world problems.
You don't know.
I'm Denise. I'm playing offense now. I got the boy. I don't need any rebounds. Okay, I'm trying to score points. Denise Rodman, San Antonio
Spurs.
I just
looked great that night. I was really feeling myself. I remember the outfit I had put together.
Yeah, you had some like sexy jangly earrings on.
Yeah, the hair was short and black.
Yeah, this was like buzz cut Ross.
Yeah.
Wow. Bitch on
some
wheels.
Door knockers. I was wearing some like booty shorts and some Converse.
Mm-hmm.
Identity crisis. I don't know. I'm sitting here in a caftan as we speak. This feels more right to me.
I love that look though. I love all looks.
Cute.
I love all versions of you. You've had so many evolutions.
Thanks, honey.
And revolutions.
They're not stopping.
No. Oh, no.
Just when you think it's a 180, it's a 360.
Oh, listeners, just keep tuning in. We're going to open up. We're going to tell you about all the interesting stuff happening in our marriage, I'm sure.
Whether our family likes it or not.
Oh, they're going to hear it. And if you hear a beep, just imagine the worst thing.
A beep?
Yeah, like if we bleep anything. Like if I start saying...
That was an eye roll, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's your audible eye roll. What is that called?
A motorboat?
A motorboat sounds like a celebration. That's when I think...
A celebration of motorboating a woman's tits. That's why it feels like a celebration.
She's motorboating her lips over here, but it's a sign of disapproval.
What
do
they
eye
say
roll.
In yoga? Flutter. They call it like... In yoga, they say flutter your lips.
A lip flutter.
Yeah. So when you hear my lip flutter, y'all...
I remember George Carlin calling it a bilabial fricative.
Well, that clearly rolls off the tongue, so let's call it that.
It rolls off the tongue, and it goes right between your bilabial fricative. All right, so listen. Denise is coming to band practice. I'm planting seeds. I'm pussyfooting. You finally come out and say, let's go on a date.
I didn't even think you were interested. I just thought, you know.
Oh, I was interested.
Oh, I was interested, baby.
There was interest.
But as we also learned recently, not to jump, kind of in the mix of this part of the story, that fateful evening when I came to band practice and I was checking you out too and like looking cute, coming from Eddie Mraz's birthday. Shout out to Eddie Mraz.
Mm-hmm.
But I had dick waiting for me.
Did you go get it that night?
Oh, Jesus.
What was it?
It was a motorcycle helmet. That we don't use that fell to the ground.
You have to get rid of a motorcycle motorcycle helmet if it falls. That's bad. Don't tell anybody on Craigslist that we're going to sell it.
It didn't hit it hard. Anyway, so I was sleeping with somebody to just bide my time until you came around.
You were filling an emotional hole by filling your hole.
A physical hole, yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Rebound love in.
Rebound love here. True story.
There will be singing on the podcast. Who knows? Okay, so we go to tea.
I know, we're digressing. Sorry.
We go to tea. Turns out, we go to tea. I end up juggling some women.
Oh!
Which came out recently.
Yes.
In a long data dump.
Sure.
Of information I
personal
had to give
data
you.
Data dump. Mm-hmm.
I gave you a personal data dump recently, and it's made our marriage stronger. Tune in, folks. Maybe we'll tell you all about that later.
One belabored episode at a time. Just wait, people. Just you wait.
So we had a great time at tea, and then I just didn't call you.
Yeah, it felt very like a natural conversation. I was like, this is a nice guy. I can talk and laugh with him easily.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing some sort of like red and black plaid hoodie. Isn't it crazy that I remember outfits like that?
Yeah, I still have that sweater.
No, I think I made you get rid of it. Oh, no, you wanted to keep it for skiing, maybe.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, let's get into the couple talk. Hon, where's the throw pillow for the couch? I haven't seen that in a while. Remember when we got that? I think I made you get rid of it. Did I? I don't know.
Hon!
what if this podcast just turns into us working through our to-do list together?
Tune in.
Like, hunt, we need to minimize those hallway closets.
Tune in. We do. We actually really do. Anyway, so yeah. You're juggling. You're juggling pussy. I'm juggling dick. We're not meeting up yet, but we think we're taking it slow. We're being respectful of one another.
We're really just feeding another addiction.
Right. We're like, okay, I'm going to take this person seriously. Take it slow. Just go on like sweet dates, yeah, like once a week. But in the meantime, I'm going to get mine.
I'm gonna like stretch some balls.
Ew. I'm not stretching any balls.
You do that thing where you grab them, you yank them, you jump off a building. You've always been into that.
Jump off a building.
Fiction. Does Ross love just grabbing a scrot and jumping out the window?
Yeah, I take it. Because it's a weight-like material, and then I just fucking toss it around my neck. Yeah. It does the old loop around. Yeah. Knots itself.
It's a noose.
Oh, yeah. I don't want a noose. I was thinking more of I was fashioning a scarf, but also thinking that I was like bungee jumping. But would kill me. So.
You want an infinity scarf made out of the scrotums of many men.
That sounds disgusting. I'm only touching scrot if I love you.
But
okay?
It's so soft. That skin is like so soft.
You love it. That's great.
I love mine.
En joie.
French for enjoy.
We're getting blue right off the bat.
Oh, this is a blue podcast.
Ooh.
Also. Put it in the blue section.
Ooh.
we dated.
Yeah, let's fast forward a little bit.
And then we started actually dating. But it was a slow courtship. First date of tea, we didn't touch each other. Next date was dinner. I asked you to dinner after a friend was like, hey, Ross was wondering what's going on with you guys. So I said, I emailed her. I said, let's do this dinner. At dinner, I went into full interview mode.
I
just found out all the family history. Yep. I found out the backstory. Still no kissing, no touching.
No.
Respectful. Then we went on a bowling date.
Yep.
Where there was light touching. I remember touching the small of your back.
A day date where you also took an epic dump and left me like waiting in the lobby of Brooklyn Bowl for probably 15 minutes.
Well, because
or so.
The morning of the date, it was a day date. We went to Enid's for brunch in Williamsburg.
Right.
Man, Williamsburg used to be
Remember,
it was so charming. Went to Enid's, we had fucking biscuits and gravy and like 17 coffees because
we're
alcoholics that don't know how to date or be intimate.
Yeah.
So we're just pounding coffee.
Yep.
And we walk in the frigid cold
air.
It
was so cold. Yeah, because we started courtship in the dead of winter.
Yeah, over to Brooklyn Bowl. And by the time we got to Brooklyn Bowl, I had to blow up that bowl.
No, it was at the end of our date that you did it.
Yeah, I guess
the bowling got you moving.
It was a heated game of bowling and things started churning and burning.
Guys, we talk about it all on this podcast.
We
do.
We're talking bodily functions. We're talking about Williamsburg, the old Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Back when things were gritty.
Forget it. I can't move quickly enough with it. Just keep talking.
Well, there was that one time. Tune in, folks. We'll tell about it in another show.
Woo-wee!
Yeah, I went and I took a dump. I thought it was slick. I thought it was quick, but you noticed.
Slick and quick.
You were
old
keeping a stop.
Old slick and quick Holbert, they called
quick,
him.
Quick, slick, backbone, back Pete Holbert, y'all. He used to prowl Williamsburg. He used to prowl around town when it was a different place. Brooklyn Bowl is actually, when that did open, that was kind of like a major sign.
It was a sign of the times.
Yeah, because that was right before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
And light then, touching
oh,
second
so, date. So we should get to where things got hot and
I
heavy.
I know, we're still only at the second date.
Meanwhile, as I just confided in you.
Mm-hmm.
I was still dating someone else.
Mm-hmm. Even through that second one, huh?
Yeah, because I remember the date when we went to go see the King's Speech at the Regal Cinema in Union Square, you put the moves on me. You
again,
kissed me.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You went for it, which I appreciate. We had a wonderful night. I think my last date with the other person was about 5 days before that.
Oh, really? Really?
And that was more of a booty call situation.
Sure.
I think there was about 5 booty calls over the December, January.
All right.
What did I tell you?
You didn't give me a number.
Sometimes I got to remember my facts.
You didn't give me a number.
But now I'm a new man. I just tell the truth.
Yeah, it's all out.
This podcast is also about secrets. It's about lies. It's about truth and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And keep tuning in, folks. Maybe you'll hear some real interesting details.
We promise we won't get stuck on these first few dates the whole time.
Hey, welcome to episode 2, everybody. We're going to talk about the evening after the movies.
The minutiae.
Yeah. So you kissed me. I walked you home to Williamsburg. Some fireworks went off on a rooftop.
We couldn't have planned it better.
It's February. Why are there rooftop fireworks?
Well, Bushwick and East Williamsburg in our day.
Oh, back in the day. You just never knew it was going to happen back in the day in Williamsburg.
Anyway, so yeah, we made out again in front of my building. There was like a kiss and then a makeout. Fireworks went off. And it was like, okay, because for those few dates leading up, I was like, what are we doing? Is this platonic? Is he into me? Is he even like a sexual person? Like, meanwhile, he's getting his fucking dick slobbed at like some other lady's establishment. I mean, her house, not like he was paying for it.
Well, who knows? Maybe that'll come up later on the podcast. Keep tuning in.
So he's getting his knob slobbed, and I'm like, is he even sexual? Because he's like pussy. Really, what they called him was Pussyfoot and Holbert.
Pussyfoot, backbone, backbeat, slick quick, slick Rick Holbert.
But turns out he was a sexual being who had
a huge penis.
A huge penis.
Yeah. So that's when the sex began.
Mm-hmm.
No, not right away.
No, it didn't begin right away.
Oh, we know our sexiversary.
Sexiversary.
It was Super Bowl Sunday, everybody.
And we know I love sports, so that felt right.
I had a huge rager at my old loft and probably had 40 people watching that football game.
All random.
No, yeah. Just not a
single good friend.
Just a real collage of very nice acquaintances who I love.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's something we'll talk about on the podcast. I don't have, I struggle with real human relationships and friendships.
Not as much anymore, but it's been a journey for you.
Yeah. So
I showed up. We had already celebrated a Valentine's Day. We'd done some light over the shirt, under the shirt, actually making out. Ooh. We'd had a couple dates where there was some like, some light action, so we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was coming.
Literally, and it's like I'm rolling my eyes at myself now.
It's okay to
just
do an accent.
Stay on track, Ross.
But hey, listen, listener, we didn't go ahead and just bang.
Single listener.
We didn't go ahead and just bang in front of my party guests. We waited until everybody left, and we waited for me to sweep and mop and tidy. And we also waited for any crumbs to be picked up. I think
you probably did.
I think there was some cleaning.
Yeah, you probably did.
Because that's how I flirt.
Yeah. You also flirt by not shaving your neck hair and wearing a yellow shirt, which is horrible for your complexion.
With my Zubaz pants.
With your Zubaz pants.
Zubaz pants.
And I was like, let me get into those pants.
You're like, are those New York Giants colors? Because you got a giant under those Zubaz pants.
You're like, yes, but let me tidy real quick. I'm going to need to get my Swiffer out. Hold on.
I'm like, hey, do you mind drying these dishes while I wash them?
And I'm like needy and codependent. I was like, will it make you fall in love with me faster? Sure, I'll try them. So that's how love began.
Yeah, and then we made love. You don't like that phrase, right? Making love.
No. It feels like faux new age. You know,
we made love, my lover.
I honestly don't remember what our first time was like.
I was good.
Was it good?
Yeah, you really went for it.
Woo!
No, I think it was nice.
I'm sure it was. I don't know why I've blocked it.
We've had we'll talk about all that too, listener. We'll get into some sex.
We were
stuff.
Hot and heavy in the beginning.
Yeah, we had lots of hot and heavy times, and then we've had some times that, you know, we just took breaks for weeks or months or years on end.
No, we've never exceeded a month. I don't think.
Yeah. But I wanted to, let's talk about this. Let's just say this podcast, we plan to be as transparent as possible without abusing our own privacy.
Yes. But well, that's a good way of putting it, honey.
And yeah, like, cause we, you know, we're of a certain age where like sex, and we've been together for long enough where sex is important, and it's challenging to keep the fire going and
find the time.
You know, we talk to so many friends of ours who also have similar stuff, and we just want to talk about this stuff in a way that is hopefully productive.
And make it less taboo.
Yes, yes.
We're talking taboos here.
We used to booze, now we're talking taboos.
But on a more serious note, I do think that, you know, this stuff, for whatever reason, is very challenging for a lot of people to talk about. And I've always really liked talking about this kind of stuff with people and like getting to the nitty gritty of like things that people are struggling with, sexuality, identity, whatever. Like, I think these things need to be discussed, and that actually a lot of human connection can be gained from discussing these things with one another.
Yeah.
Because when you start to talk about these things, you realize how many other people are having the exact same experience as you. And there's just really no reason for us to be like struggling with these types of things on our own, and also feel like you're just stuck living some sort of boring humdrum life or sex life because that's what society's told you to do.
Yeah.
Question everything is my point.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not just, we're going to participate in our lives in all that's aspects.
Right. That's right.
We're not just going to let it slide by powerlessly.
Mm, unless it's lubed up.
Sliding by and lubed up.
Am I like busting the microphones and...
No, you'd hear it.
Okay. You sound good. Yeah, it would blow me out, wouldn't it?
Oh, she wants to get blown out. This is just nuts.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the sex move where... where it's like you just take a deep breath, you hold it, and then you force it out really hard into someone's vagina.
You blow them
up. The blowout.
Yeah.
And that's it. Doesn't really amount to anything, but...
That's such an interesting thing. If that were real, like, imagine the poor soul who's too ashamed to say that they'd like to be blown
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
But listen, you just got to say what you need.
That's right.
You got to be honest.
That's right.
We're here. This is a place of honesty, truth, and shame. So yeah, those are some overall themes. But yeah, so our relationship escalated pretty quickly in that first year. We got really serious. We did hit some hiccups around the 8 or 9 month mark.
Well, as I've told you before, it actually started at 5 months.
5 months.
Yes. Was our first initial hiccup where the book
Attached
came into our lives.
Yes. Read Attached. If you're in a relationship, you want to be in a relationship, and you don't know what the patterns are that are going on in your life. By the way, I'm not an expert. I feel weird saying the word "you should do this" or "you should do that," but that book changed my life.
We are by no means experts in any way, shape, or form. We are just mere humans with opinions that are sharing them, and if you gain something from it, great.
Yeah,
opinions and experience.
We're just here talking taboos.
That's right.
We're gonna have interviews. We will bring some experts on. We'll do interviews.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe you'll learn something from them.
You're not going to be stuck with just this on every episode, we promise.
Yeah.
And we'll bring in some other voices.
And I also, but anyway, yeah, we'll also recommend books that helped us. Like, this book, Attached, really helped us for like a month.
Let's go back.
Well, anyway, I just want to say about Attached real quick that's 6.5 years ago now. We read that book together. And just last night, we're watching The Bachelor in Paradise, and I'm like, Dean really needs to read Attached.
That's right. They all do. My God.
Yeah, they need therapy.
They need to just start reading is probably the first step for all of them.
Yeah. So when we're not talking RuPaul's Drag Race, we'll probably be talking about The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
That's correct.
Franchise.
Very highbrow.
Yeah. So call in when we have those shows. It'll be a great discussion. Okay. So first hiccup, I was feeling like my heart wasn't in it. I wanted to cut and run.
Which he literally said to my face, to my sad little face, I don't think my heart's in it. anymore. Mm. Which a month prior to this, we were on the first vacation we'd ever taken together, like trip of a lifetime. We're in Bermuda. We're falling in love. We're having sex everywhere. It's like magical. And after that trip, I was getting a phone call being like, I am so in love with you. I've never felt like this about anyone before. Yada, yada. I was like, me too. This is magical. Blah, blah. Month later, heart isn't in it. Don't know if the heart's in it.
I don't know if the old ticker's in it.
Gotta tell you. Never felt like it before. Now, don't know if I'm in it.
You know, last week, I have never felt like anything like this before. I'm so in love with you. But man, I had a real nutty weekend.
Yeah.
And now I'm just not sure.
Now I'm just like, knock, knock, knock. Don't know if the ticker's in it.
Yeah. There's something going on with this aorta.
So you said that you needed space for a couple days.
Mm.
And I'm like, I went real like Kathy comic. I was like, here we go again.
Harumph.
Bored. Because this is a pattern I have where I like, you know, I go after people that are emotionally unavailable, and I don't really realize it until this rug pull moment tends to happen. So I talked to a good old my therapist, Virginia. Shout out to Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
What a doll. She really got me through a lot of things.
Richmond, Virginia is her real name.
No, shut up. Okay. And she suggested that I go get the book Attached and give it to Patrick and see if he would read it.
That seems like very specific advice for a therapist to be giving.
Well, I mean, yes, that's what therapy can be. I know yours has varied from time to time about sometimes therapists in your situation just tell their own life stories during your sessions.
Or they die.
Oh, rest in peace.
R.I.P. George. Love you, buddy.
Anyways, so I bought the book. I asked Patrick if he would consider reading it. He read it.
It had my number, baby.
It had your number.
It told me who I am. I'm an avoidant. I don't want to deal with real feelings. I have this fantasy that there's a perfect person for me out there.
Mm. You just didn't know that you'd met her.
Every relationship I've ever been in, it was always like, sure, this is good, but so much anxiety that it was the wrong one for me. Mm. And I always had that. It's like that FOMO, permanent FOMO, like I'm missing out on a better place or a better person or a better job. And that always hits around, yeah, I guess the 5 month mark in a relationship for me.
Well, you've said that you know, that was around the time where you first said that you loved me. And so, yeah, you're like vulnerable and you're like, let's put the brakes on this, please.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we read the book. I read most of the book. I didn't read the whole thing.
Mm.
I'm more of an anxious attacher.
Mm-hmm.
Although we've worked out a lot of these kinks now, but
we've moved on to new kinks.
Yeah, we've got. Oh!
Keep listening, listeners. Maybe we'll tell you about those.
I like how you keep telling them to listen in for all of these.
My
future.
Producer mind is like, that's a good spot for a tease.
So yeah, that kept us going for a few more months, and then I made the horrific mistake, and I'm being sarcastic, of suggesting talking about living together, I think around like 9 or 10 months.
What are you, insane? I'm trying to live my life here, lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, maybe I should have known better considering that you were an avoidant attacher and I knew at that point that you probably weren't going to respond well to that.
Yeah.
And then you told me you weren't ready. We had a little bit of back and forth. I actually accepted it. I was like, you know what? It hasn't even been a year. That's fine. We can like take a little more time. No biggie. And then what did he do?
No, see, that all happened. Well, I guess the breakup happened in July. So I guess, yeah, all this might have happened toward the end of our first year together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went and I secretly purchased a one bedroom apartment for myself.
He purchased a goddamn one bedroom apartment and was like, And
compartmentalized it to the point where like, this is fine.
Yeah. And then like brought me on a tour of it and was like, I mean, you're not invited to live here, but like maybe you will be. So like maybe there's enough space for you here.
Hey, spoiler alert. Guess where we're podcasting from right now. So yes, I was a shithead back then.
And one part you love to bring up too is, so all this miscommunication took place between me and my current roommate at that time. And he thought I was moving out, which was a real flub on my roommate's part because we did not have a real conversation about it. And he found another roommate to move into my apartment. So I had to leave my apartment of 5.5 years because he thought that I was maybe moving in with Patrick. So, whew, real insult to injury there. So you went with me as I went looking for apartments for myself.
Oh, God. Brutal.
And what... Every time we pass that street, you're like, hey, remember that apartment?
Yeah, we looked at this apartment on Bushwick Avenue, which back in 2012, that was a different place, man. Bushwick, 2012.
I think we've beat this one. It's dead.
Well, that block is particularly gross. I remember just thinking, like, going in there, meeting the superintendent who showed us the apartment, just like knowing I didn't want you to live.
A Hasid who wouldn't shake my hand.
Oh, yeah. He would only talk to me when it was like your potential apartment.
Fucking nightmare.
Like, I knew I didn't want to live with you, but I also knew I didn't want you living there, but I also wanted you to find a place. It's so many mixed emotions. And
Dean situation.
Yeah. I was just trying to be a good guy.
Yeah.
I've got good guy.
Vomit.
Good guy disease. Just want to be a good guy. Just want to help you out. I'm sorry it didn't work out with you moving in with me, but like, let's find a way to make this work for you. Like, this will be really great for you. Like, isn't this great? Like, looking at this apartment where I'm just like, she's going to get shot over here.
Yeah. And it was a first floor, too.
First
it's like
floor,
facing
bars,
the street.
Bars on the window. Bushwick Avenue is not like, not. It's across the street from a damn gas station.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Although it was like, I think $1,100 or $1,200 a month, which is like, bargain prices going these days. I'm sure that same apartment is like $2,000 right now.
But we survived that part.
You ended up getting I found a room,
that I helped you paint, and like that was bizarre. Like me prepping to move into my new place and moving you into a new place, just knowing we're just like delay. It's so weird when you can recognize the immaturity at an adult age, because I was 30,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you turned 30 the first couple months we were together.
Yeah. So it's just crazy that we've been through so much stuff.
Yeah. It was a weird time. I mean, I think it had to happen, you know. Yeah. But yeah, so then also during this time we started going to couples therapy.
Yeah, that's when we did round one of couples therapy.
Round one of couples therapy as per suggestions of some people that we had been talking to, other couples. And, well, I went in sort of stupidly. I was like, we're going to go to couples therapy. He's going to realize what a fucking bozo he is. And then we're going to move on. And mm-hmm. I'm going to move on and move in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how it went, folks.
No.
It's not how it went.
How many sessions do you think we went to?
I think we started in April and then it ended in July.
Yeah, but I feel like we probably only went to like 5 or 6 total.
Yeah, there's only a couple of weeks that we skipped or something.
But yeah, we saw this woman and it was generally really good.
It was good.
I think it was good to just like communicate in a formal setting.
I think it did make you realize some stuff, even though like it didn't fix it in that moment, you know?
Yeah. Didn't fix it because flash forward to our final session.
That's right. July 2012 or 2011?
2012 because
yeah, it was a year and a half.
It was July right before Hurricane Sandy in October led to us parting ways on Morgan Avenue in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, just hugging.
So sad.
And crying.
Can I share one of the most defining moments of the Woody Allen-esque breakup in couples therapy in Brooklyn, New York, was so we both come in and we both say we know it's over after some huge argument we had the day before, but we both knew we were going to go to couples therapy. So we show up, we're both like, we're here to break up basically. And after, since it was clear from the beginning, she was like, okay, well, why don't we like process your relationship? It was just like immediate, like, let's jump into processing your relationship and say your goodbyes to each other. And she said to you, well, she asked both of us, like, what is it that you'll take away from this? Or like, what did you get from the other person or whatever? This may not be verbatim, but basically you were like, you started bawling and I'd never seen you cry before. And you were like, as you're sobbing, saying, I've never been in a relationship like this before. I've never had a relationship like this before, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm like, you're sitting here sobbing, saying you've never had a relationship like this before, and you're ending it. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. But I mean, that was a wake-up call to me, that I was just like, oh, okay, this isn't actually that he doesn't love me. He just like doesn't know how to be with me.
He doesn't know how to love.
He's a dead man inside.
Cannot find a way to feel the love in his heart.
His heart has a shell around it.
It's a shell made of frosted chocolate chips.
Frosted chocolate chips, you wish.
He loves his desserts.
All right, we got it.
But he cannot love a human.
That's right. He gives himself all to his desserts. So anyway, that was a real defining moment for me. But then, of course, went on to months of eating Reubens in my bed.
Bed Reuben. That's so great. You became Bed Reuben Ross and not Denise Rodman Ross.
That's right. Which was a real defining moment in my life.
Yeah.
That's right. I watched a lot of True Blood. I ate a lot of Bed Reubens. I went on lots of trips. I worked really hard on my career. I went all in on Ross.
You doubled down on Ross.
That's right.
I
what'd you double down on?
I tried to.
Couple of tits.
couple of tits.
Couple of mams.
I tried to date, and I went on a real tear on dating websites. There were some close calls.
Close calls? What do you mean?
I don't know. Like some hookups here and there.
But like, what does close calls mean?
Like the thing,
like you almost got somebody pregnant. You almost got an STD.
No, like I hooked up with somebody, where I probably was unclear about my true intentions. And really I was Dennis Rodmaning.
Right.
And, I was going for the rebound loving.
These are going to be such good hits. If there's any producers out there.
Listeners might be, they might be tuning in halfway through the show. So they might not have heard that first batch.
That first hit.
That first hot batch. No, like, you know, there was one gal I met at a bar and...
Oh, you're going to bar? I mean, you were really...
I was meeting up with my buddy Nathan, met this girl in the bar and... God. Yeah, I think it turned into like days of like texting and flirting. When really my intention was I just wanted to have physical relations.
Oh, science.
And yeah, just like kind of reverting back in behaviorally. Like you took it as a time to like really personal development.
That's
and I
right.
was just like,
that's right.
I just wanted to get out of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, luckily you took me back.
Here she goes again, taking fucking...
But it worked.
But it worked this time.
Here we are. We are married.
We are married.
We are married. We have a family.
That is not that I'm pregnant or anything,
no,
but
we are a family.
We are a two-person family.
I truly do feel like we're a family now.
We are. We're a family.
I was really touched by our conversation last night. We had like a... Well, you picked me up in the East Village. I had been out pursuing my dreams all evening.
Mm-hmm. And I was pursuing money for the family.
Yeah, you were working late and you drove me home and you were feeling stressed about some stuff. And we just had this talk about like, we've been through so much together.
Yeah.
And we have so many goals for the future for our own lives individually. Mm-hmm. And that if we just have faith in those things. Like, this is all going to kind of come together.
From your lips to goddess's ears.
Goddess. Oh, yeah. This show is also about the patriarchy. It's about politics.
Oh, it's about the fucking patriarchy and trying to destroy it.
Well, we don't have to destroy it.
Yes, we do.
But some men should still.
Listen to me. Destroying the patriarchy does not mean destroying men. It means destroying the
construct.
The construct that men are the ones that are in power and in control, and that male characteristics are the things that are revered. That is what destroying the patriarchy is. It's not hating men. Men, come on over to the matriarchy. It's nice over here. But we'll treat you well.
If we get rid of the patriarchy and replace it with a matriarchy, won't we have the same problem just in the other direction?
No, because nothing about women has been put on a pedestal ever in the existence of the planet.
What about boobs and ass?
Which is being sexualized, not put on a powerful pedestal.
Okay. Just playing devil's advocate here.
By all means.
I'm getting daggers stared at me right now.
No, but I think that's a big, I mean, this is really digressing, but important part of the podcast. Important part of the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the important part of the podcast. Maybe that's a segment in the podcast. Like, we have a silly time.
The important part of the podcast.
And then we come to the important part of the podcast.
Yeah, this is a very important part of the podcast. Let's say it a couple more times. That to be a feminist and to want a matriarchy and want the destruction of the patriarchy is not to hate men and men in our lives, men that we love, men that we work with. It is about encouraging the feminine. Women are not encouraged in the same way that men are. So to want powerful women visible and at the forefront of businesses and government is not to emasculate, but to make things equal and make other women feel like they're as strong and powerful as I think you could agree white men have been feeling for centuries.
Okay. I'm going to learn a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, you are. Don't you think that sounds fair, though?
Yeah, totally. I'm on board.
You're a feminist.
I'm a feminist. I'm into feminism. I'm into feminization.
Oh, you don't have to look over here like I'm going...
Or am I? Keep listening, listeners. Who knows what you'll learn about?
I'm looking over to my right as if there's an audience that's tuning in live.
Tune in, listeners. Viewers, listeners.
So anyways, we broke up. You did your thing. I did my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a journey of self-exploration and adulthood. You just regressed and then came to your knees and realized, actually, I just let the love of my life go. Mm-hmm. I should probably reach out to her and see if she'll take me back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we'll see about that.
Yeah. Well, we had a coffee date.
That's right.
And I was like, can we just like meet up, catch up? And I remember seeing you come down the street, or did I see you come
down
out
the
your
Swallow Cafe stairs?
Yeah, you came down the stairs looking like a goddamn model. You had this beautiful hat on. Your hair was blown out and straight. You perfectly like styled outfit.
People, just a tip, and I do mean people, guys and girls, and everything in between. Show up to see an ex looking like effortlessly, I had a good phrase for it when I wrote that article about it. Basically, like, you're not trying at all, but like you did the best job of looking like, oh, I just walked out like this, but really, like, you had it planned all along.
Yeah, you've been spending hours with a team. Yeah,
with a glamour team.
And we had like a really nice, it was just nice to see you. I like legitimately missed you.
I know, it had been like 3 months.
Yeah, I was also saying that to somebody recently that you did an amazing job during our breakup. Like, we do go to the same meetings, we have a lot of the same friends, we lived
blocks away,
eight
from each
blocks
other.
Away from each other. I never saw you once during the 3 month breakup, and you did such a good job of like protecting yourself in however you did it. I mean, I remember you saying you told your friends not to bring me up to that to you. You avoided meetings that you knew I went to.
I only went to women's meetings.
Yeah, like That's so smart. Like, people really do need help to learn how to break up. Because, like, if that breakup was appropriate and that was the way it was supposed to go for us, like, that was probably really good to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I'd never treated a breakup like that before. I'd done all the other versions of mm-hmm. breakups where you reach out to the person, you think you can be friends soon right away, like,
or you think you can bang,
or you think, like, you can sleep with them casually, yeah. And it's like, it never works. No. Ever. Not for me anyway. And it's like, you are never gonna get over that person if you're constantly inundating yourself with that person. You just have to, like, you're never gonna be, in my experience, I was never gonna be this like cool chick who just, like, doesn't care and can move on with her life. Like, that's just not me. And honestly, I don't really think it's anyone. If you can do that, you've got bigger issues you need to, like, deal with in therapy. Yeah. But it's just, you gotta, like, shut it down and give yourself space to heal and move on.
Yeah. You should coach young people how to do that, how to break up.
That'd be great. If there's anybody that is looking for a breakup coach and self-esteem coach, God, should I be the thing that I hate most? A life coach?
Yeah, be a life coach.
Oh, that's such a terrible profession, though.
Why?
I just feel like a lot of wrong people are drawn to it.
On the client side or
on the coaching side?
On the
yeah, it's
side.
Like you're, there's like not enough. Mm. It's like a certificate, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm going to tell you how to live your life. Like, I don't really want to tell people how to live their life. I just want them to glean experience, strength, and hope from, like, what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've really gotten your shit together. Well, I always brag about you in this context. I always say, when I met my wife, she was like a year and a half sober.
2 years. Oh, no, it was just shy of 2 years.
We were both like in early sobriety. She was a waitress. And, like, I've gotten to watch you, like, change your life. Like, you hated waiting tables. You were having nightmares about waiting tables.
Still do.
but you were, like, just starting your career as, like, I would say compared to intern level.
Yeah.
As a stylist, you were, like, assisting people for some money, but not a lot of money.
And free, too, yeah.
And you were doing free jobs where you're just getting paid with experience and you're getting into the fashion world. And, like, you now are, like, a really, like, talented and busy fashion stylist. And
thanks, hon.
Even though you might be confronting new challenges with that.
Yeah, I'm over it.
you had a vision. You saw it. You worked hard toward it. And it, like, it actually worked. And I think, yeah, you could totally share with people how you did that. And they could probably get something out of it.
Well, what you're going to want to do is get a horrible drug and alcohol problem.
Yep, start there.
Fail graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Realize you have nothing.
Well, no, you gotta, the life coach would say, experiment with drugs and alcohol. yeah. Apply to grad school. And then let everything come crashing down.
Thank you, honey. That's very sweet. I appreciate that. And I mean, honestly, it is one of those things where I'm just like, I did that. That's crazy. Like, it doesn't even feel like you in some ways because of, like, looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, that's crazy that I just, like, went for it. But it really did come from a place of, like, I felt like I had no options and I was like, I better make this work,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. Maybe that's why this time right now feels a little bit more challenging because it doesn't feel quite so desperate as I'm sort of looking to maybe change things up for myself again. So it's like, I'm really good in times of desperation to just, like, go full steam ahead onto something. But
yeah, you're the kind of person that.
Oh, excuse you.
Yeah, you're the kind of person that likes to be painted into a corner and fight your way out.
Yeah, I'm just clawing my way out.
Yeah.
Claw my way up and out.
She's like a fighter. Go make her stronger. That's how I'm a fighter.
Is that a real...
Longer.
I don't think we have the rights to that. Fortunately, nobody can tell what the fuck you're singing, so it doesn't matter.
It's Kelly Clarkson, Fighter. Stronger?
Stronger!
Working stronger. Harder. Stronger. don't kill me. Will only make me stronger.
What is this?
That's Kanye West.
Oh,
well, no,
Jesus.
It's what's that techno band that he got that beat from that you like?
Oh, yeah. Originally a Daft Punk song, and then he took that sample and
I used to be a rapper.
You want to give us something?
And I just myself on the mic and I'm like, man, I don't know how to like put together musical phrases anymore.
Oh my God. Can you believe it?
Oh, listeners, tune in. Maybe you'll hear me rap in the future.
Good thing he's not trying to be a rapper anymore because he can't put together musical phrases anymore. Oh my God.
Sheesh.
With that said, we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up. There'll be a lot of repeating each other. That's something that'll be happening.
Here's what we want. We just want people to follow this journey.
Yeah.
See what happens next with us.
Bring a vomit bucket just in case.
Yeah.
When you're on the journey with us.
Just have some fun.
Yeah. You know? Dad style.
Let's just have some good, clean fun. But don't stay up too late.
That's right.
Make sure to eat when you wake up.
We got places to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is our first episode. We're just like throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks.
Yeah, we legit appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to this point if you have been.
Please. We hope you got through the whole thing. If you didn't, maybe we'll solicit feedback. I'm not sure. Hopefully you're just all of our friends and you'll tell us how great it is.
Yeah. Just give us the old shit sandwich. Like, lead with a positive piece of feedback. Say something that we could work on, and then say something else nice about how we look.
That's right. You know who would be great at, who's going to be really good at it? That's right, Jen Driscoll. Driscoll, she is going to really be able to tell us what we need done, veiled in compliments.
Yes.
God bless her heart.
All right, bye, everybody. Thanks so much.
Bye. Bye. Maybe that's the ending. It's me being like, bang, bang, ding, ding.